Blog Talk Radio.
Now it's time for some mind, body, and soul food with host Tanya Parker.
I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Yeah, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Well, you can feed my body, but you really gotta feed my head. You know I'm hungry.
Well, hello, hello, hello. And welcome, everyone, to Mind, Body, and Soul Food. I am your host, Tanya Parker, and I first want to pause and say thanks to Gaya Degbolola, who brought us in with Hungry Woman Blues, and all, just sending mega love out to Gay out of Fredericksburg, Virginia, formerly of Sapphire, the Uppity Blues Women. And I love that we have been using that song actually for the past 8 years. This is July. This is our 8-year anniversary on Mind, Body, and Soul Food. And Gay has been with us the whole time with her Hungry Woman Blues. So that's a piece of this show that has not shifted, and I'm so glad about that. We have definitely had some changes going on over the years, and we'll share about some of those in the midst of our show today. But we have been on for Second Sundays at 6, and we even spent a couple of years where we were running first and second Sundays, but we're back to just second Sundays, and you'll notice that today we're actually on the third Sunday at 7. So we have to be able to move and flow as life kind of hurls us some curveballs. So that's exactly what happened last week when I was in the car for hour after hour after hour driving back from a 2-week gig in the Outer Banks of North Carolina, and traffic was just making it impossible to get home in a timely way and to focus on this show. So I am so grateful to our guest for saying yes to putting it off to another time where we both can be fully present. And that is exactly what we are this evening. So just to let you know a bit about myself, my holistic table has served up a lot of sacred offerings for quite some time now. I mean, we've gotten to the point where I can say decades. And starting my career, my healing career as a counselor, and I have transitioned more to coaching. I also do cooking, where I used to do community capacity building. I still do meditation and massage and quite a bit of Reiki and writing and retreats and lots of delicious stuff in between. And one of my absolute favorite creations, my special baby, is combining all of the holistic healing, teaching, and writing together in this one offering, which is Mind, Body, and Soul Food. And it has provided an opportunity for 8 years now to feed our listeners with mind, body, and soul nourishing information as we give voice to the vision of some absolutely amazing holistic healers and light workers. And so, you know, what better way of celebrating going into our 9th year than having on the show the person who has helped me to make one of the most major shifts in mind, body, and soul food. And that is by having on as guest, I'll say my sister host, because Mind, Body, and Soul Food has expanded. On Wednesday nights, we have another show that's been running all this year called A Wonderful Approach, and it is indeed that very thing. Excuse me, and the host of that, it happens to be someone that we share blood, but I did not know that. I did not know this person prior to, I guess, the end of last year. And we were connected by a mutual cousin. And I love the oneness that happens in this world where, you know, we can see ourselves reflected. And when you think that, hey, I don't know if there's anyone in my family like me or similar to me, and to see that disproven, you know, just having someone to show up in the mirror with so many similarities, it has been such a beautiful experience for me, and I'm sure for her too. Anyhow, on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, we have a wonderful approach. It's the same length, the same number, the same great energy, powerful insights and sharing, and you'll get to get a taste of that this evening, because now she is going to be on the other side of the mic, and she will be in the hot seat, so to speak, as I interview her and introduce you more fully to her. So you'll find out more about her, because without further ado, I really want to give a mind, body, and soul food welcome to my sister cuz, my sorority sister, a powerful medium and spiritualist, a sister author and retreat hostess, Khadijah Seven. So welcome, Seven.
Thank you so, so much. I'm just listening. I'm like, wow, this is a wonderful sister.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely awesome. Thank you for such a generous welcome. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I appreciate the very generous welcome. I am so excited. I love radio. Radio allows your voice, your energy to go through the phone waves and to reach people. And I absolutely adore the process of connecting. So I'm very honored and thankful that you invited me to come out onto the show this evening. And I'm excited about the interview because I'm always in a process of learning and gathering new information. And so, you know, every show that I do with pen and paper, open mind, open heart. And I'm really listening and vibing and sharing energy. So I'm really excited to be doing that this evening with you.
Yay! I'm excited as well. And it's like I'm doing this show in a totally different way. And it's like, okay, Seven can do this. It's like I'm not going to send her anything. I'm not going to prepare her with questions. We're just going to have a conversation and just see, you know, that water energy again. We're just going to go with the flow and see where it takes us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm excited and looking forward to it.
Great. And, you know, just to let folks know, the title of this show, An Integrative Approach to Your Spiritual Journey. And so we will be talking about that. But we'll also be opening the phone line because you are quite the powerful spiritualist and medium, and I know I have been a beneficiary of some of that amazing insight from spirit that you have. So we want to make sure that folks know to line up to get in the queue at 917-889-7806. And also, if they just have questions or comments, if they're vibing with the topic and want to share their experience, we would love to hear that as well. All right. So,
all right.
You know, I want them to know a little bit more. I gave the brief version, but if you could share with our listeners who you are, and what do you serve at your healing table?
Absolutely. And I'm a unique being. We all are. And God made us intentionally in that way. And so, you know, I don't fight the uniqueness. I grew up in a very spiritual household I feel blessed to have, with the main focus being Islam, but also wonderful exposures and cultural exposures and many other traditions from many different types of Islam to Christianity to many of the ATRs. And this understanding of religion and culture only grew as I matured as into an adult and started making some of my own decisions about how I wanted to express my spirituality. And what I found is I had the most peace when I was free to express myself spiritually in many different modalities. So I realized that this Buddhist meditation really touched me, and I could benefit from it without being a Buddhist. It connected with me. I understood that a lot of the Christian readings and psalms and prayers meant something to me. They connected to a part of my DNA that understood what those prayers meant, even though I grew up in an Islamic understanding. And so all of these things contributed to making me have an extremely open approach to understanding God and then finding ways to express that understanding. And then as I grew and as I started working more with people, I found that the answers weren't as clear-cut as, you know, you're a Christian, you do this. You're a Muslim, you do this. You know, I found what happened is blending certain practices and understanding indigenous ritual allowed the healing to come forward, allowed education to be smoother. It spoke to a different part of this person's DNA, basically. And so that created the entire need for spirituality, to understanding God in a broader look and a broader feel. And that is who I am. I have dedicated the last 10 to 12 years into understanding indigenous ritual and understanding how to create a healing practice within them. You know, I'm very blessed to have worked under my mother's organization, Mother Eagle Ministries, for 10, 12 years. I just got a plaque. I have two plaques now, but I just got a plaque for the work that I've done within that organization. And for the past maybe 3 or 4 years, working with a wonderful approach and creating healing and education out for people. So that's basically who I am and what I hope to achieve in this spiritual expression.
That is absolutely delicious. You know, many of us, we grow up and we have one experience when it comes to, you know, the spiritual stuff, or I'll say the religious stuff. And some people grow a curiosity for whatever reasons to expand further, and others don't. And, you know, I want to make sure that our listeners know that, you know, we are not advocating for one thing or another, or trying to get you to change your mind, but we are exploring this very real phenomenon that's out there, that many of us feel a pull or feel this draw to expand further beyond what we grew up knowing. And that, you know, we are saying, if you feel comfortable exploring that, see where it takes you. Because, you know, it's interesting. I was doing some research, and I found this study, and it was from 2016, And it found that one quarter, 25% of Americans now claim no formal religious identity. And that actually makes this group the single largest religious group in the United States. You know, no religion or no affiliation. And that's very different from back in 1991 when it was 6%. And of all the folks, it's mainly the young adults today. They're nearly four times as likely as young adults a generation ago to identify as religiously unaffiliated. So it's a definitely a growing percentage of people who are out there who are seeking more, being called to more for various reasons, But kudos to you for listening to that call. You know, folks have asked me about, you know, what's your religious background? And I'll always say I don't consider myself religious. And I do use the term spiritual or interspiritual or interfaith because I am drawn to a number of different spiritual paths as well. And I don't feel that there has to be an either or because there are so many similarities between them all. So I love
Absolutely.
When I met you to have this mirror held up and it's like, hey, there is somebody in the family like me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that shift between people only having maybe one or two options, you know, the options were, you know, Baptist or Pentecostal, that, you know, you were a Christian and you had a choice between what kind of Christian you wanted to be. And now there are a lot more options out there, and I love it. I think it's wonderful that we have the ability to find new and exciting ways to get excited about our religion and get excited about our relationship with God. Because these relationships, this is the one relationship that you will have until you actually meet Him. So, you know, it's a very important relationship. We have to begin to give it its due and understand that as different as we each are, you know, there may be a different type of relationship for all of us with our Creator. And that may be achieved a number of different ways. And I love the fact that in my day and where we are now in 2018, there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of different practices that you can study individually and begin to understand more about yourself and more about this relationship that you have with your highest being, you know. And so it is a wonderful time to be alive, to be studying, to be working with others. I love that idea of really helping someone to understand and begin some of those baby steps with God, because life can take us away from that understanding, or, you know, sometimes we get confused in it or just disheartened by it. So a lot of times what I'm doing, I feel, is reintroducing people to their best friend and helping them to realize how much, you know, that God is waiting for them and that there's many different ways to talk to Him. You know, there was a time in order, if you wanted to make a phone call, you had to go through an operator, and the operator would kind of patch you through. Now we got cell phones, landlines, you can call people on through the computer. You know, there's watches that talk. There's all kinds of different ways for us to now make that phone call. And it's okay if you like your traditional understanding of religion. There are lots of opportunities and options for that. But there are also as many opportunities for you now to learn other languages in which you can communicate to God with.
I love that. I love that. And that really, you know, that that metaphor really spoke to me since I grew up, you know, with party lines, and we would have to contact the operator to, you know, get to talk to the particular party. So, you know, that gave me a little giggle there. But, you know, you also, you triggered something in me, and this is just a shameless plug, I'll have to say. I know you're an author as well, but one of the books I wrote, Diary of a Witch's Daughter, which is for young adults, but many adults really gravitate toward it. You know, part of what this young girl, this teenager is finding out in this book is that, you know, as she writes in her diary, she realizes that she really is just communicating with God. And that's just another way to connect deeper. And so, you know, I love that you made that analogy and that connection came up.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny because children, because their minds are so open, they will find other ways to do that, you know. They will begin to understand, you know, hey, you know, this seems to be working for me, so let it work for me. One thing about understanding spirituality is creating an openness within your mind and within your spirit so that you can begin to understand that there are many different avenues for connecting with God, you know, and that begins as a mindset and an understanding that, you know, you're going to, no matter what, have and maintain this connection with God. And then from there, the answers of how become extremely easy.
And, you know, using that term connection also just brings it home to me that a lot of times someone can be in a church pew week after week after week, and that connection is not there. You know, and it's all about finding that connection with God, you know, mother, father, however you term that energy, source energy, creator. But there's so many things to keep us separate from God. And just because we are in a particular tradition, or we say we're following a particular doctrine, does not give us a guarantee that we have a deep connection. And I find that many times our heart is not connected to what we're doing. We're doing things by rote. And so if the heart's not involved, you know, that's certainly something to pay attention to. That's just my personal two cents on it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And sometimes that can be very confusing and disheartening because if you think, okay, I'm in church every week, I'm there on time, I say the whole service, I do my tithe, you know, I'm doing what I've been taught to do, and I'm still feeling hungry. You know, I love when you always talk about your soul food and what your kitchen is cooking. I understand, as someone who enjoys eating, I enjoy dining. I understand that analogy, and I can't imagine how confusing it would be to sit down at this table and be hungry when you got up. And so, you know, there are those within themselves where even as they follow all the directions they've been taught as children and as young adults, it may not be filling. It may not be what your body likes. My body doesn't like onions like that. Just a little bit, not a lot. So, you know, I can't go to, you know, and eat certain foods if they're heavy in onions. My body is not going to agree with that. And so what I have to do, spiritually speaking, is find those places where your spirit is in tune and where your spirit is at peace. And in those places is when you're going to have the best connection with God. And that can be in a number of different avenues. But we have to make sure that we're not doing things out of habit and still allowing this hunger to go unsatisfied and having this disconnect you know, because as we're disconnected from the source of our everything, then it's easier for us to come off of our path. It's easier for us to get kind of caught up in the world's busyness. It's easier for us to be further away from the light because we're not connected to a strong enough source.
Truth. And something else that comes up is it's important for us to be respectful of folks when they are not connecting in the same way that we do. You know, just like those of us who may have left a traditional or I'll say a family-based religious practice. And we left that for a particular reason, and we want people to respect that in us. We also need to respect when there are others who stay in that or who choose another. And I know I have seen it time and time again where various family members or friends make comments or, you know, they're just all in distress because so-and-so isn't coming to church at all, or they're not coming to their church, or they're choosing another path, or, you know, they seem to be heathenish. You know, because I've been non-traditional in my past, I know it has felt uncomfortable when people have an expectation that you are to show up in another way. You know, I want to make sure that I don't turn into that person who is non-tolerant just because I'm choosing
right.
a different path, too. That was convoluted.
Right.
I hope you
right.
got it.
Yeah, you know, and that's a very real, that's a reality of ours. When we are, for a lot of communities, the church is a corner, is a part of the community. And so on one hand, yes, it's a building for worship, but it's also a place for fellowship. It may be a place for daycare. It's a place where families get together. So there's a lot of things going on at this church. And so when you are disconnecting yourself from this source to find another source, you may be doing that for spiritual or for religious reasons, but the other nourishment, the socializing, the fellowshipping, the family aspect, you're not trying to disconnect from that as well. So a lot of times when people choose another source for spiritual input and for religious input, they often end up losing something a lot bigger than religion, but they end up losing that connection, not just with that source, but also with family members, and with neighbors and everything like that. And so, and that can be traumatic. And that can hold people in a place where they're not being fed because, you know, they'll pass on the meat and potatoes because that mac and cheese is so good, you know. And so those are just
side
items, but they become everything, you know, because without it, it's just not the same. Someone may have a great choir, and if music has been that connector into their spirituality and going to choir practice, and if that whole thing has been part of the event of their religious experience, then it can be very difficult leaving that. And it can be, you can feel very much like an outsider for choosing something different, which is why I strongly encourage those people, you don't have to leave your base language to have spiritual knowledge. Spirituality is something that can deepen your relationship. It doesn't have to, you don't have to make a choice to be one or another. Spirituality is more like a method of understanding God, and it can still be done from a Christian aspect, an Islamic aspect, a Jewish aspect. It's just a matter of committing to yourself and to God in a matter that's going to have you more open. But it does not mean that you have to pull yourself from a church that is nourishing you. So there's definitely, I have a number of people that have, you know, gone through harsh separation, and it's been traumatic for them. You know, they're like, you know, they don't understand my new lifestyle choices. They don't understand my new dietary restrictions. You know, they don't understand that I may not be that comfortable attending their church event in the church, you know, but I'm good with a community event in the community clubhouse or something like that. And so I think, you know, sometimes the disconnect between the people comes from just not knowing how to approach it. I remember growing up, we could eat, you know, the vegetables. I knew I couldn't eat the main meat. I knew this. And I remember sticking, you know, the big spoon into the string beans, and there was a bone in the string beans. And I just screamed and ran to my mother. I was like, there's a bone in the string beans, you know, because I was like, you know, growing up a vegetarian, I know that there aren't bones in vegetables, okay? And so here was a classic misunderstanding, okay, where they thought they were being very nice and kind by offering me I could have the string beans, and I am like, there are bones in the string beans. And so, you know, this is a cultural difference. This is misunderstanding. But what it's not is blatant disrespect. It's a misunderstanding. I didn't understand. That's what misunderstandings are. That's when one person is unaware of something dealing with another person, okay, is a misunderstanding. And so I think, as, you know, you were talking about developing cultural tolerances and cultural understandings, again, it's created through a desire to learn, creating an open mind and open heart, and that will, in having open dialogue, making sure that we can explain to each other, you know, thank you so much for inviting me. But when I say I don't eat meat, I also, you know, I don't also, you know, if there's a little plate that you could put to the side that doesn't have the bones in it, that would be wonderful. You know, it's just a desire to learn and a desire to connect. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our communities are small, and they're worth saving. And I don't believe that we should let this difference between us be a defining difference to where we can't connect on other levels. So, you know, again, tolerance comes from education and open-mindedness and a desire to work together.
Beautiful points. Beautiful points. Thank you. A couple of things that were triggered when you spoke. One was about the many different purposes that are met by the church institution. And, you know, I'm thinking back, both of us come from African ancestry. We, you know, had people who grew up in the United States, a history of slavery. And you think about, you know, during certain years post-slavery, you know, we had our church experiences, and we were still met with a lot of racism, powerlessness, et cetera, discrimination. And so the church served that purpose of providing so much succor for people, and people who were treated with a lot of disrespect by others they found respect in the church. That's where they could be the pastor, the deacons, the trustees. That's where they took on these roles of leadership and responsibility. And so that has carried throughout the years, where the church has been like everything, you know? And so it can be hard to say goodbye to that, as well as all of the other, you know, good stuff that's been offered by the church. So that was one of the things that popped up for me when you were speaking. And I totally forgot the other one, so that's perfectly all right. I think I have lost Khadijah in the process. So let's see if I can get her back.
I can hear you.
There you are. There you are. Yes. Okay. Somehow I clicked you off. So.
No worries. No worries. The phone lines got hot. So.
See, that's what it was. That's what it was.
But, you know, I, that relationship, understanding the church and what it has been in our communities, I think is very important before we can move even forward in new understanding. You know, I know those that may have harsh feelings about the church and don't have a desire to have that connection, and that's fine. But what I want people to understand is the history of the church. The church has been that part of the community. And so I find it better, easier to create a peaceful understanding, even if that's a part of your history. If we can have peace and respect for this piece of history, and then as we incorporate, we can learn to grow more from there.
Yes. And I believe that, and I think that many don't know the history of the church. And they also don't know the history of not just the church, but of religion itself. You know, it's interesting because I have heard many Christian ministers say, you know what, it's amazing that I'm still a Christian after having gone to seminary and really learn the history, you know. And so
I
think
heard
people
do the same.
You've heard
thing.
You've
heard
the same heard thing?
That.
Yes.
Yes. I have heard them, like, you know, how almost seminary school can create doubt almost in the understanding of, you know, why I want to have this leadership position in the church. And so it's a lot. It is a lot. And that's why we have to be very clear as to what we're doing in the why part.
Mm.
What we're doing in the why. Because if, as someone who is taking on a leadership, a spiritual leadership role, you have to understand that your job is to lead this little group, you know. And so whether your group is 10 or whether your group is 10,000, you know, these are, you know, your responsibility. And so as you grow and evolve, if you believe it will help your people, you have to continue to grow and evolve them as well. So I understand what that comment is about. And
now, Khadijah, I'm having a little bit of interference.
Okay. Okay, let me get still and stay still.
Okay.
Okay, is that better?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. So, yeah, that leadership position is very important. And knowledge for the sake of themselves, if they are.
Okay. You're losing us again a bit. Kind of going in and out. Are you there now? Are you there? We haven't been able to hear you.
Okay.
Okay,
I am here.
All right, and you sound nice and clear now.
Oh, good. Awesome.
Yeah, we don't want to lose one single drop of what you're saying because you were just spitting out some pearls here. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Also, I just want folks to know if they want to chime into the discussion, they are welcome to call in to 917-889-7806. Again, that's 917-889-7806. Please make sure you press 1, and that will let me know that you would like to speak. Otherwise, you're just someone whom I will assume is listening to this podcast via the phone. All right. So we're on with Khadijah Seven, who is host of A Wonderful Approach. She is a medium and spiritualist who has knowledge rooted in Islam, Taoism, Ifa, Vodun, Christianity, and Kabbalah understandings. That is quite the resume there. And I would like to talk a bit about Ifa as well. And,
okay.
You know, this is going to sound funny. No, it's not going to sound funny to you. I know you're going to get it. I don't know if you have noticed it or not, but, you know, those of us who have been familiar with or some who have practiced in indigenous religious traditions or spiritual traditions, we notice that there are a lot of folks who are getting a bit more drawn to it because of popular media culture that is exposing it more. And let me just say the aftermath of Black Panther.
Yes.
Have
the
you
explosion.
Noticed that too?
I noticed it a little bit before Black Panther.
Yes.
There were a number of big recording artists, like I believe Usher, I think Beyonce and Jay-Z. There have been a number of big recording artists that have insinuated, I don't necessarily come flat out, but have insinuated that they have a practice, a spiritual practice that is non-traditional. And so what we're finding now is that people that traditionally are exposed in the media, now their spiritual practices are also being exposed in the media. So maybe about 5 or 6 years, we've noticed an increase in by some traditional signs of someone in the Ifa community or the Yoruba culture where they'll be wearing the beaded necklaces or they'll have certain sayings and, you know, just certain jewelry that will let us know that they have some additional understandings. And it really created a lot of interest. And I think it created a lot of confidence. There's always been a few of us that have practiced spirituality or have Yoruba tools and practices. But till the other kind of mainstream individuals came forward, some of those practices were being done kind of underground. It was a very quiet thing to do. It wasn't something that people always necessarily announced at the Thanksgiving table. And so until very recently, it's been a very visual thing, and it's been a very almost trendy. And so I cringe a little bit as I say trendy, because, you know, we don't want religion and culture to be trendy. Its purpose is definitely a divine purpose and a purpose that hopefully will connect us to God. But it is trendy. There are quite a few people that, because of those additional exposures, are now, you know, open to seeing more and learning more and developing more. So you're absolutely correct. And then the Black Panther movie, I think what it opened up was an openness to seeing African traditional religions and seeing African garb. So that's not necessarily religious or spiritual, but more cultural. With Black Panther, that's more of a cultural exposure there and a cultural understanding of, I know one of the big things they had, they spoke about, was ancestors. And in Africa, ancestors is religious, but it's also cultural. It's a very widely accepted understanding. So even in the movie, when they spoke about ancestors, that wasn't necessarily in a religious standpoint, but more of a cultural understanding.
Very true. That is very true. Well, you know, whatever the reason that people are becoming more open, I say go for it. You know, I can't speak. I, you know, I think a former me would have been in a place of, look at the Johnny come latelys, or, you know, questioning motivation. But, you know, I have to be more concerned with my relationship to God and my journey and my path. And I'm not here to judge anyone else. And I know that there are many different things that can influence us when it comes to, you know, transformation and growth and healing and, you know, being open to different paths. So, you know,
absolutely.
A movie or a video is just as valid, you know, as being born to it or receiving an inspiration on the mount.
I absolutely believe that. I remember that when I first went to Virginia State, my alma mater, cherry blossoms were in bloom. And when I saw these beautiful pink flowers, I was like, I want to live here for the rest of my life. And I made a decision that I was going to go to this college because this flower was blooming, okay? And from that decision, I went there. My two youngest sisters went there. And I got loads of little cousins that attended this college. And inspiration was, it was beautiful. And that touched me. And I said, oh, this is it. And so we can't say what inspiration is going to be valid enough to have someone seek a closer relationship with God. But I'm just thankful for whatever inspired you to have those types of desires to learn, to grow, to develop. And so I am 100% with you, cousin. I believe that, you know, I don't believe in shaming people at all for wanting to know more. I encourage people to study. I encourage people to continue their growth and development. You don't have to jump into anything. You don't have to let go of anything. Our desire is just to build and develop and grow, and then from there, life will be able to assist us in having understanding.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, I have to digress for a tad bit when you mentioned Virginia State. You know, I grew up in Virginia. And, you know, all of this time, talk about synchronicity. You were drawn to Virginia State. So many of your immediate family members were drawn there. And
yes.
Two of my brothers graduated from Virginia State and several of my cousins. And you discovered years later that several of our mutual cousins were actually on faculty and staff there.
Yeah.
And there may have been meetings throughout the years, and you all didn't even know. And, you know, it's just amazing, you know, how energetically you were drawn to this place where other family members have been energetically drawn to as well. That's amazing to me.
From Miami, Florida, okay? So it's not like I was around the corner. I'd never been there on a college tour, nothing. When I first saw them, I thought it was beautiful. And so not knowing that most college campuses may have that same plant planted, but that's okay. I was drawn there because that's what I saw. That's my inspiration, and I'm sticking to it. And so, and
you
then that small inspiration spread. So that is 100% energy, because there's no reason. People ask me, how many HBCUs did you pass to come up here to this little college? I was like, I love my school, okay? So whatever sparks that love in you, whatever it is, don't undermine it. Go with it. Learn more. Read more. Be honest with yourself and discover. And there's many different ways of doing, you know, discovery, understanding spirituality. There's many different techniques. I just got finished with a super retreat, which it was super. It was incredible. And, you know, I am very honored and pleased to be able to do that on a regular basis. And this one was at Sapelo Island in Georgia, and it was amazing to be able to. And in this retreat, we had Muslims, Christians. We had those that understood Vodun. We had a Buddhist. We had a number of Reiki practitioners and energy workers. And we all got together with the understanding of producing healing that was desperately needed, because there were some people that kind of had lost their way, a little confused, and the healing that was created that weekend, just a couple hours ago, will carry this person into a new understanding of life. And so whatever your inspiration is, whatever desire you choose, positivity is positivity. And so if you're doing it with positive intentions for yourself, for your family, for your community, it's going to be received.
Yes. And I love that you shared that. That is such a beautiful example. It's a beautiful model for us to replicate. And I would love to see us replicating that more and more and more, so that we have a number of these microcosms that help to shape our macrocosm. If we look at what's happening in our world today, if we look at travel bans on people from Muslim countries, if we look at, oh my gosh, all the other immigration issues going on, wanting to build a wall, you know, ripping people, children from their parents, keeping them separated. I mean, all of this stuff, there are signs of separation, but we really need to make sure that we're highlighting these little bits and pieces where people are not separating, where they're understanding oneness, where we're coming together. I won't say they, I'll say we, and I'll include myself in my work, where we are coming together and celebrating our differences and just being open and unconditionally loving and having that energy to just sweep through and help heal
what's been happening.
Absolutely. It really pains my heart to think of the conditions that are being created for yet another generation by having this ill feeling towards each other due to differences. And this ill feeling from differences is creating dis-ease within our community. And, you know,
yes.
the whole nation is a community. So we should be working on healing our community. But right now there is a very aggressive energy that is trying to limit our community and continue to divide our community and to make it a volatile place. And this is comes with great sadness, because our communities are all that we have. They're our little world. And so we need healers that can go beyond themselves, beyond their homes, and really reach out on a national level and be able to create healing on those levels. One of my favorite songs in the world, Stevie Wonder does, and the song is called "Love's in Need of Love Today." I don't know the correct title, but as a child, I remember hearing it and hearing "Love's in Need of Love Today." Don't delay. Send yours in right away. And growing up, I was like, if love needs love, I think we're in trouble. And we were then, and we still are, having great difficulties with some very basic ideas, and it's still hurting us as a people, as a nation, and we have got to be able to move past the differences and create more opportunities to have many different energies, education, growth and development, sustainability. And it starts with us. It starts with us. It starts with conversations such as this, where we can say, hey, my community needs more education about and whatever they need. And then another community being open enough to say, you know what, I'm willing to educate you on this as long as I can also educate you on that. And so we begin to build and grow and develop on many different levels so that we can achieve an overall purpose of healing and education and connectiveness.
Yes, yes. From your lips to God's ears, let it be so.
Amen.
Whew. I'm just feeling this. Now I'm just feeling this this topic and this need, truly, this need that's out there for people to just become more aware, to become more open, more open. And the things that we could all accomplish as a collective if we just open to this and know that God shows up in so many forms, in so many incarnations. You know, we don't have to be limited to one.
Absolutely.
Just open to how God shows up. Within and without. Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, I want to do a little transition here as we approach the 8 o'clock hour. You know, you have some serious gifts. You have a number of different gifts, but you have some serious gifts. And, you know, I want to relate that to spirituality as well, because I know that in some traditions, people who
have gifts of mediumship, or, you know, someone may call it psychic abilities, all the clairs, clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, what have you, that can be seen as something that's sinful or something, quote unquote, of the devil or what have you. There's been fear that has developed around being able to connect in with spirit in a powerful way. And so I just, you know, wanted you to speak to your experience, because I know you come from a family of people with gifts.
Yes, yes. And what you're saying is not unique to me. I've heard this before. And every chance I get the opportunity to speak and to dispel a myth or two, I always take advantage of that opportunity. Myself, coming from a spiritual family, my gifts were not seen necessarily as unique. You know, this was just something, mm-hmm. you know, some people are right-handed, some people are left-handed. It was that clear cut and dry, you know, but everybody writes, okay? And so growing up, the focus was more on being disciplined within these and being clear within these gifts than the, you know, kind of like the shock of them. And so growing up, there was always a lot of prayer. There's always a lot of discipline. It was always a lot of open conversation about making sure we understand how to be responsible in our gifts, in our interactions with other people, and in our service and duty to God. And so those were mm-hmm. always very, very clear growing up with myself and in my family. And so when it comes to people having fear about these gifts, in most cultures there are seers or prophetess or people that have the ability to gain additional information. They've always been there since the beginning of time. And the difference, one of the reasons why people have fear surrounding them is because they just don't understand. They don't understand it. They don't, you know, they can't imagine it. You know, it can be surprising or shocking. Like, how did you know that? You know, and you know, when I'm doing this life coaching and I'm working with people in retreat and I'm pulling information and we're working with these sensitive issues, and, you know, when people, they'll be like, how could you have known that? And, you know, I'll explain to them, you know, God is guiding me through your healing. So he's giving me mm-hmm. information to assist you in your healing. I only know as much as God thinks I need to know to produce healing. And so it's not, a lot of people may think like, oh, you can see everything. I can't. God does not give people
right.
Vision in completeness. He is the only one that has vision in completeness and knows all. So, you know, for me, understanding myself and my limitations and keeping my focus on God and on positivity helps me to regulate myself and to keep myself grounded and to keep myself working in a very sweet and positive manner. A lot of times there's fear because people don't understand the discipline it takes to do that. And so once you understand that this person is responsible to God for what they say and do, they feel like, okay, I feel a little better, you know, at least you're responsible somewhere, yes, yes. And then when they realize, you know, hey, I love God, I have a great relationship with him, I make my prayers every day, you know, that helps them to understand and to work past their fears. My goal is difficult for me to do my job if you have fear in you. That's not my goal. My goal is to try to produce healing and to set you on a path for your own healing. And so from there, you know, you'll be able to continue on your path of developing that close relationship. So, you know, I acknowledge the fear because the fear is very real. But once I start explaining about who I am responsible to and how I take my responsibilities very seriously, then a lot of that fear is put to rest. And they're able to get the most out of the time that we spend together.
I love it. I love it. Wow. What a big difference in hearing your story and understanding how you grew up and the normalization of your gift compared to having them come on or, you know, kind of questioning what is this, not having a role model to talk it through and discovering a community where this is the norm and basically taking classes and practicing to develop the skill. That's more of my story.
Absolutely.
And so what I have noticed is there are various family members where I have picked up on their gifts. And so many of them don't quite know what to do with it, or like me, they may, for me, for instance, in my counseling practice, I just thought that I was good at ferreting out information, you know, that I took good histories, you know, it was like I didn't realize that there were some things I just knew. And it took years to build confidence around that and to develop that. And even still to this day, even though I use those gifts in my individual practice working with people, I am usually the one who's behind the mic interviewing others as they share their gifts.
Right.
It's like, it's almost as if there's still this residual piece, you know, that's there that feels more comfortable allowing others to show up more powerfully that way. And, you know, it's all the moment. But I just had that little piece of insight. So, you know, I'm just going to raise my hand on that and own it.
It's so funny. You know, I have two younger siblings. And my middle sister and I, we went to college. We were there at the same time. We were maybe 2 years. We called the sun and the moon. And not that one was the sun or the moon, we would take turns in the middle of it. So there are places where she shines and I don't, and there's places where I shine and she doesn't. And we tend not to do it at the same time, you know? So when it comes to family members, you absolutely will learn how to yin and yang in the middle of each other because you're family. You've been doing it together for a long time. So when you were saying where your comfort level is, usually with her and I, our comfort levels are at the opposite end of where they are, okay? Wherever she's ending, that's where I'll pick up, you know, and that's just where we've always been, you know, since the beginning. You know, right now, I have two sons, and they are their spirituality, you know, so they're going through the process of learning their prayers. They're going through their process of developing a meditation schedule and understanding. And I'm finding a lot of joy in, one, watching them develop into these spiritual children. And I'm taking a lot of pride and a lot of optimism in kind of relearning some of these steps myself. There comes a time where you're like, yeah, I know that. But then, you know, a good review is a good review. Spend the time, you know, looking into this or looking into that and really developing yourself. So it's very important to have proper support in doing anything. Having the right tool gets the job done, and that's in all things. This is why, you know, with our churches, we'll have our Bible studies for the youth, and they're sometimes getting the same message as the adults, but it's just broken down in a format that they'll be able to understand. So even as you are beginning a spiritual practice or just wanting to know more about what that is, you know, spend some time with the proper tools, you know, grab a good book, listen to a couple of the teachers out there, and you'll be able to listen and hear if it's speaking to, you know, your personal spirit or not.
Mm-hmm. Some great tips. Thank you for sharing that. Well, we have had callers on the line, but they have not indicated that they want to speak. So I know all is in divine order, but I am someone who loves to take advantage of a great situation. So I know that you have your gifts that are on fleek, my cousin, my sister cousin. So I am going to come forth and I am going to request before we, you know, learn a little bit more about what you have going on and how to contact you and close out the show, I would love to hear what's coming forth in this moment for me.
Well, you know, and it's so funny because people will call me and say, hey, and I'm like, yeah, I know. You know, a big thing that's coming up for you is that you're going to have to really, really learn how to listen to your own self, okay? And you're going to have to be able to listen honestly to your body, and you're going to have to be able to listen honestly to your desires versus obligation. That's something that you really need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And even if obligation is kind of pressing you forward, you have to make sure to acknowledge the desire part. A lot of times we will deny what we really want, or we won't say how we really feel because of obligation. And it's very important that for at least for the rest of the year, that you speak your truth. And so that is a major, major part of you, okay? And you have to, healing, oils, keep your neck wrapped up. You know, you have to start to learn how to protect your voice and protect your neck. And I know that you're a throat shaman, and this is your chakra. Okay, I know that. But at the same time, you have to protect that as well and make sure that you're not exposing yourself either to elements or strain or anything else like that. So make sure that you're protecting your throat for the rest of the year. And that even goes into speaking your truth. You know, you can't have any blockages in that chakra at all, because this chakra is going to be like the shining star, definitely for the end of the year, but even going into the beginning of new year, this is going to be everything. And you've been getting a lot of information about this probably for 5 or 6 years. All of the things that they've been leading up to, you're going to start to see manifesting very, very quickly. So, you know, and you've made plans, you've made preparations, and those are going to carry you about a third of the way. So the rest of the way is going to be a little bit more hard work and grinding. Get your work in. Do what you need to do, but do it in a protective measure. Don't strain yourself.
Woo! Wait, let me say that a little lower and protect my voice. Woo!
That voice is going to be everything.
Wow. You know, the messages I have gotten over the years about my voice and the healing and how it will go out and things that have come forth from it, including this podcast, including a meditation CD, and just all of that, and more recently voiceover work that has come forth for me. And okay, so I am hearing you because I also know that my throat chakra is really activating big time.
Yes.
And more stuff is to come through, and I feel a quickening. So thank you for all of that. I do want to acknowledge that you are right on point with listening honestly to myself, my body, and my desires. That definitely came up for me the past couple of weeks. I continue to be faced with certain obligations. And, you know, I keep saying I want to make sure I honor me. And, yeah, it's a time of releasing for something. I do know that. And so thank you. Thank you for that. And you know what?
Anything you can do with your voice, anything you can do with your voice right now that is going to create positive vibrations, you need to. You know, I have if it comes to having affirmations around your house, if it comes to humming, and it's strange because there's a humming there, you know. So if it's humming, if it's affirmations, if it is going through the different meditation chants, anything that you do with your voice, you have to allow it to produce positivity. And at the same time, you have to guard it against negativity, you know. The very thing that could be your power tool can also be to your detriment. So you have to make sure that you are utilizing this positive energy and not allowing anything negative to creep in, because anything negative in this chakra is going to be twice as strong, because this is just a very strong chakra for you, especially right now. So those words that you, you know, oh, I didn't mean it like that, they're going to feel like a ton of bricks, because this is your power shaman. This is your power chakra. And so you have to be really cautious about not using your power tool in a negative fashion.
That makes so much sense. Thank you. I receive. Whew. I receive. So, one last question that's coming up. Has anything come up for those who may be listening, for those who may have been on the line, but they, for whatever reason, chose not to, you know, to speak directly? Anything general message that's coming up?
Absolutely. And you have, because we were just speaking earlier that there are some fears associated with spirituality. And for a lot of people, it is very, very private. And that is one thing when I'm working, you know, with people one-on-one, when I'm doing the coaching, or even if I'm doing my guided meditations, which I do at a very small numbers of people, you know, they're very personal, very private. There may be some, there are questions out there. There are tons of questions out there. But because people are very timid about taking the steps to ask, I'm not surprised, you know, at the quietness at this moment. So, you know, if it's all right with you, I would love to offer people the opportunity to go to a Wonderful Approach Facebook page. That's a page that I manage. And I've had a number of people reach out to me, ask questions. We do a talk show on Wednesday, which is part of this Mystic Connection with the radio. So, you know, we reach out. They reach out via the Facebook page, and I can answer questions either directly there, or, you know, you can call into the radio and ask a question that way as well. So one thing I would say, and there, this is pertaining to two people, not to sit back quietly, not saying nothing, and hurting. Okay? So if you are happy where you are and everything is pleasant, it's flowers, and that's wonderful, okay? But there are some people that are not just dissatisfied, but hurting. And so I would strongly suggest that you reach out and not allow this hurt to continue and, you know, allow yourself to begin to see that hope, to see God's light. You know, sometimes we can get so far from God that we don't believe that, you know, he hears us or that, you know, that we have any way we can get back. And that is 100% incorrect. You know, God has a love for us that transcends all of our humanness. And a lot of the problems that we have and a lot of the challenges that we've gotten ourselves into, they're human problems. They're not even unique. You know, by, you know, it's 2018. I don't think we can surprise God, you know. So at this point, it's about, you know, getting that healing in place so that we can move forward and have and build and develop a better relationship, a closer relationship with God.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. So you invited folks to go to the Facebook page for A Wonderful Approach. That's correct?
That is correct. And also, the radio shows are listed, the archive radio shows are listed there. And we get into some juicy, juicy topics. We really spend a lot of time really breaking down some fundamental aspects of God and understanding God from an interfaith understanding. So within a radio program, there are a number of different cultures, ages, race, orientations. We are just a beautiful conglomerate that comes together and we build, we grow, and we develop, and we learn how to understand some very important principles, and then we apply them to life. Sometimes we can know something, but really not know how to use it best. And so we'll spend time learning about ourselves, our strengths, sometimes our weaknesses, and how we can grow and develop a closer understanding to God.
Beautiful. What are some other ways that folks can reach you to dine at your amazing healing table?
That is, the Facebook page is definitely one. The radio program, in which we come together every Wednesday, is a great way to reach out to me. I do a lot of traveling. I'm just coming back from Georgia. I'm on my way to South Carolina. I'll be having an open question and answer, debunking spiritual myths. I'll be having, I'll be speaking in Vance, South Carolina next Saturday. I'll be in Texas in the month of August. I'm going to be coming up to see you very soon. And so, with all the faces, we went down to New Orleans. Oh my goodness, New Orleans was awesome. So we also travel. And there's a chance that we may be coming to a city close to you. And these dates are posted on the Facebook page, and it gives us an opportunity to have an up-close and personal spiritual experience, a guided meditation where we're working together to elevate ourselves, to have this authentic spiritual experience. And they are very wonderful. The retreats are also extended weekend retreats where you get the opportunity to spend all weekend, and we spend all weekend in spiritual energy, learning, building, growing, and developing. And so, you know, along with the radio and the website, we get around, and there are opportunities to meet us in person and have an opportunity to have one of these experiences yourself.
Beautiful. And I look forward to the day where I get to join you all on a retreat too. But
absolutely.
In the meantime, I love that you're coming this way. In October, we'll
yes.
have a little something special to offer, which is
absolutely.
Wonderful. Wow. What
I definitely want to
you are.
I want to thank you for your time and for your energy. It has been a true honor of mine to come, you know, at this time and share with people about spirituality and just understanding more.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were some great questions, some really in-depth understandings, and trying to develop and bridge gaps between understanding and hearsay, she say, you know, we need more communication to create better understanding. So we have something to go by, and that really is going to help us in developing ourselves and better relationships with our friends, knowing that chances are they can have a different spiritual understanding than you.
Well, I am thanking you for taking the time, coming off of your powerful retreat, rescheduling and all of that. I am just so grateful to you and grateful to Spirit for connecting us. And, you know, as we go into our family reunion this coming weekend, you know, I will get to see your aunt and your first cousins as well as lots of other cousins, and I'll give them a hug for you.
Please. Please do.
Yes, yes. So do you have the topic for this coming Wednesday show?
No, you'll have to tune in and check us out. But we get
all
together.
Right.
We get together every Wednesday, and that topic swirls around. And I tell you, I have to do the programs with pen and paper because Spirit is moving so fast. I have to write it down not to lose it. That's how quickly it spins. And that's how wonderful it is.
Gotcha. I get it, absolutely. Well, I would like to invite folks to tune in next month, second Sunday at 6, where Ty Johnson Anderson will be returning to the show. It's been quite some time since she's been on. She is another powerhouse intuitive and healer and fashionista. So we'll see what she has to say when she comes on, and we'll have some other great treats for you throughout the year. But thank you, Khadijah Seven, and thank you for those who listened in. And we look forward to hearing you next when we dine at the Mind, Body, and Soul Food Table. Good night.
Here I go.